Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
How are we doing on this very busy Thursday? It's also a Bad Tiki Thursday, so coming up at 4:30, the great Bad Tiki will join us. We'll also get you set for a football game tonight that I am very pumped up for. I really am. Sometimes these Thursday night games are like, okay, it's on, whatever. But when you've got the Commanders and the Philadelphia Eagles for first place in the NFC East, that is some badass football. So I am pumped up. And we'll get into that coming up a little bit later on and make our picks. So a lot to do. And, of course, the toll-free number is 888-808-1019. Also, in just a few minutes, Aaron Rodgers wants to come back, which I expected him to say yesterday, and we talked about that a day ago. But for those that don't want him back, the only way for a divorce to work is to have her ready to hook up with somebody else. If there's no one else waiting, she's just, or he is just want to come back and basically say, no, I'm staying here. So we are going to have to figure out a destination for Aaron Rodgers just in case we don't want to sleep with him again.
That's because he wants to continue playing.
Yes. Yeah.
At least that's what he said yesterday.
That's what he's saying yesterday. And if that continues and we don't want him back, the only viable way to not have him back is to find someone else who's single and say, hook up with them. So we'll do our best to find that team coming up in just a few minutes. Let's go to Andy in New Jersey. How are you, Andy?
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Big fan of yours.
What's up?
I just have a question about the Tampa Bay Rays playing in Steinbrenner Field.
Yeah.
Do the Yankees have a farm team that plays there?
Yeah, they're single A team. They got to find a way to function getting those guys to play, too.
So what happens in that? And I know that the Yankees like to rehab, you know, any injuries, they go to Tampa to rehab. I mean, I like to know how this is all going to play out.
They're working that out right now, Andy, and I think that's a part of why the Yankees are getting paid money, because it is detrimental
right.
to them.
I mean, it's going to be very disruptive to them.
Yes.
I mean, there's a baseball stadium in Orlando, correct? Mm-hmm.
Well, there's baseball stadiums all over Florida because of the spring training facilities. But yes, Wide World of Sports. Right. The Atlanta Braves, I think, still train there, or maybe they used to.
Yeah, but they don't have a minor league team there.
So. I think they do, actually.
Do
I think a
really?
Lot of these teams do. Yeah, in the Florida State League, I think there's a lot of minor league teams. But the reason Steinbrenner Field was picked, and this is a credit to the Steinbrenner family, is they built a magnificent stadium. Like, it is a magnificent single-A spring training stadium. It's got 11,000 seats. Like, where the Rays play their spring training games, because that's a logical question. Well, why don't they just go play there? I think the capacity is about 7,500, and the facilities are not nearly as nice as Steinbrenner Field. So Major League Baseball wants them in the nicest facility possible, and so that's why it's Steinbrenner Field, and the Yankees should be paid. I think it's great that the Yankees are being paid. I think what the Yankee fan wants to know is, okay, what you doing with the money? Go throw it to Juan Soto at that meeting.
You got that, the World Series revenue they brought in.
Yeah.
Extra shekels.
Dude, there's no excuse for them not to be the highest bidder.
I agree.
I think we have double threats going on in this city. The threats from my fan base of the Mets better be the highest bidder, and certainly threats from you, Sean, and every Yankee fan, which is they better be the highest bidder.
Of course.
No excuse.
And they will.
Brian is calling from Milltown. What's up, Brian?
Hey, guys. Big fan. And Evan, I just want to thank you, actually, this past year. You let me come over to you in between innings at the Mets game, and you signed your book for me, so big thanks for that.
Well, thank you. Thank you for buying the book. I appreciate that, man.
But I was calling because you guys were talking about the Kiss Cam. So
yes.
I have a 20-game pack at Citi Field. I now sit up by where Evan is, but I used to be about 13 rows off the first baseline, and it was either 2019 or 2021, and I was with my girlfriend or fiance, depending on which year it was. And we got put on it. And I can tell you, there was no one in front of us. We gave each other just a little peck, you know, like we didn't do anything lewd. But we both looked at each other like, where is that camera coming from?
Oh, so there was no notice.
There was no one in front of us. We were just suddenly like, oh, we're there.
That is kind of freaky. Because you're like, where the hell is this coming from? I also don't know.
The eye in the sky.
I don't know.
Be wary. It's always there.
I don't know how I'd react because my wife is very private. Like, she doesn't. She's not going to want to make out with me
non-PDA?
In public.
Non-PDA?
She's not, sometimes, but mostly not a big PDA person.
Not in front of 25,000+ people at a baseball stadium?
Yeah, let me clarify. Like, we would do PDA if it's a nice quiet night going for a romantic walk and there's no one or not that many people around. If it's a 35,000-seat stadium and some of them may listen to our radio show, I don't think she's up for the PDA, but I don't know, man. If that camera comes on me, I'm going in. Well, whip out the jumbo package.
You have to, don't you?
You have to.
Because you're in a spot now on this Kiss Cam where one or two people are going down embarrassed. Either your wife, who doesn't want the PDA, is going to be like, why did you, now I'm embarrassed in front of all these people. Or if you go for it and she does the, I'm not doing this, now you're embarrassed in front of all these people.
Do you have this conversation with your spouse? If you take your spouse to a game, do you have this conversation? Or should you now be having this conversation?
I think you do now.
If we get on the Kiss Cam, you got to have a plan. We're just going to ignore it. We're gonna give a quick peck, or we're just going full in.
I think you almost have to have a plan because Sean's right. Like, he nailed it. You're kind of in this spot where you're screwed either way. Like, knowing my wife, if I go and aggressively go for a kiss.
Without her knowing,
and I get it, she acquiesces, she's going to be pissed off at me for a long time. Mm. And I'm never going to hear the end of it. That's not worth it. If she pushes me away, that's a meme.
Right.
And that's something I'm going to have to live with forever.
Right.
And Tommy will bring it up every 5 minutes.
Now all of a sudden, everybody's going to say, Evan's getting divorced. I saw it. Did you see the kiss campaign? It's over. Relationship's over.
So I think you're right, T. I think you have to have the discussion now.
You definitely do.
I think the hock to a kiss cam from Madison Square Garden the other night is now kind of an introduction to all of us that we need to have the chat and say, what's our game plan?
I think we should all vow to have our chat with our wives tonight.
Yes.
Just say, I mean, she probably won't ever go to a game with me, but...
Well, I'm worried
just
because...
in case.
Guess what?
But you take your wife to
games.
Well,
not only that, where am I going Sunday night with my wife? Madison Square Garden.
Fuck to it.
So
oh, my God.
I need to be prepared for this situation.
I got it.
What?
The best way, everybody walks out of there with a laugh, and to ensure you're never on that cam again, both pull down your pants, moon the camera.
Ooh.
Double moon.
I didn't think you were going to say that. I thought you were going to say just show your Brooklyn Nets hat. No. That'll really get you off the camera
quick. She doesn't want to kiss her husband. She's not going to drop her. They got to come up with something that's fun, that's cute.
That is fun. Mooning a camera is fun.
They're not
going to moon the camera. We got to come up with something that's like, you know, above board.
Yeah, because like even the middle finger, which will get them off you, that's classless.
Yeah,
I'm not going to do that.
People have done it too before. You,
you could be the mooning couple known forever. That's a great thing to be remembered
as. First of all, think about the timing of the moon, okay? So, camera's on you. You notice it. That takes about 2 seconds. Now you got to stand up. You got to turn to the camera.
Right.
You got to find a way to get your pants down.
Yeah.
Also, make sure not everything's being seen.
Right.
By the time you do it, it's over.
Whip out the jumbo pack. Yeah, as soon as you turn around and grab for the waist, it's over.
Yeah.
They're off of you.
It's gone.
There's a director up there who's flipping the cameras.
Well, not with the Hawk 2 situation. They gave it way too much time.
Well, maybe,
you got to be quick.
Maybe it was... stage.
Maybe the guard's going a little X-rated these days. I do think that you're right, though. Conversation needs to be had.
Yeah, definitely.
You need to be prepared for this said situation so that you're not in a position with your pants down. The proverbial pants
down. I just won't bring my wife to any games.
Why?
Okay, how do I explain this?
Do you not take your wife to games? I know she went to that Met Diamondback game by herself.
She went by herself. I've taken to her a game before, and I've learned from my experiences. Would you agree that it's 90% men?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Well, basketball...
Do you want to bring meat into a lion's den?
No, I don't need to hear stuff. Basketball's not like that, actually. I'm going to take that back.
I'm serious.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric I4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy.
It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I think basketball is like 40% women.
You think it's 40%? It's still 60% dudes drinking, looking, saying stuff.
You know what I've noticed at basketball games?
What's that?
I've seen this so much. Now, maybe it's more Brooklyn Net games, but actually, I think it happens at the Garden, too. There are women who are dressed very sexily, very scantily clad.
Sexily.
And they...
Is that even a word?
Yeah.
Sexily.
Do you know what it means?
I mean, I know what it means.
Then it's a word. If you know what it means, it's a word.
Okay.
And I've seen them take, like, the selfies... And clearly, it's all a TikTok, Instagram thing. And I see that at NBA games more than any other sport, where girls and women are going there to take sexy pictures of themselves and then post them.
Nice.
So I actually disagree with you. I would agree with you when it comes to all the other sports. But when it comes to the NBA, you're not even going to a basketball game. You're going to a show. And I see it all the time. So I think it's a very different clientele. I'm telling you, Sean, you don't know. You don't go to basketball games.
I don't go to basketball games? Where was I with you last Monday night?
Yeah, when I take you.
Mm. When I take you.
Otherwise,
sorry,
you don't go.
I'm sorry I don't buy Knicks season tickets as a non-Knicks fan, but I will tell you, get your ass to Madison Square Garden for a Ranger.
Same thing?
Oh, my God. It's loaded with, I'm just going to say it, hot women.
Yeah, but are they doing what I'm describing where they're taking the pictures?
Oh, yeah.
Are they attached hot women? Are they with their spouses?
Some groups of girls, some with spouses, but some groups of girls. And they love that, like, tied up top of the jersey because you wear nothing underneath. Ooh, little cleavage situation in Indianapolis jersey.
Let's go to Josh in Smithtown. Good afternoon, Josh.
First of all, I want to know where Sean's teeth are because I have season tickets to the Rangers and I do not see this. but regardless, I had to touch base with the leader of the coalition over there. Yeah. You know, Evan, I've been listening to you when you were first with Joe for almost like 20 years now. I know your game. We know your game. It's not you're a troll. You're a little troll, right? So to even bring up the Karl Anthony Towns shooting free throws in the context with which you brought it up is so trolly. All you're trying to do is throw shade.
That's not
you didn't
true.
Bring up how he bring up how he was exhausted, banged knees, gutted it out, stayed in the game. You know, you didn't bring up the Nets at all today, which is always a good thing, but if they had won, you could have been sure.
I want ratings.
You could have been sure you would have thrown a jab in there. Right. What you're leading to is you're gonna call the Nets the Knicks of last year.
No.
You're going to say they're dudes and dogs soon.
No.
And the Fat Joe thing, too, you know, you're just trolling us. That's all you're a troll.
Well, first
you're
of all, I appreciate your...
The Fat Joe thing has been going for a while now.
Yes, that's...
From the Yankees to the election and now to... The Knicks.
I didn't start the Fat Joe thing. I just continuing
right.
the Fat Joe thing.
He's just organically continuing it.
I'm going to make you feel better because I don't know if we're doing this enough. And I think people are doing it. But sometimes a guy comes to this town, they performs at a high level, and we say they're performing at a high level, and we just move on. What Karl Anthony Towns is doing in this city with this team and the start he's off to is nothing short of borderline historic. I mean, I get that. He is shooting over 50% from three. He has been unbelievable what he's done. And you mentioned the knee bang, and it looked bad when he had that knee bang. And by the way, he was very lucky. It could have been a sixth foul, but whatever. He bangs knees. He falls to the ground. He has a tough time getting up.
Yep.
Karl Anthony Towns showed an incredible amount of toughness. I agree with you. What he's done through the start of this season, if I'm a Knicks fan, would excite the crap out of me. So I've got nothing bad to say about him. And I hope you heard that. There's nothing trolling about that. That's the reality of what he's done so far.
But you're saying something's different, something's off, something's changed.
No, I've said nothing about that. That's what you said.
No, I'm not saying that.
You think something's off and something's different?
I think that's what people are hearing when you say what you say about the Knicks.
All I'm saying about the Knicks is that Karl Anthony Towns was pandering when he was taking free throws after the game.
Yes, but he was still taking free throws after the game.
Okay, but he was pandering.
Yes, but he was still working on his game.
That's fine.
Even if he was pandering.
You think you knew if the camera was there?
It doesn't matter.
Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Just to be clear,
I'm not
your
even talking
opinion.
About the overall state of the team. Like, I'm more confident about the state of the team than most of you guys.
It's like a ripped dude mowing the grass without his shirt on. Is he doing it so that the housewives around the neighborhood look at him? Sure.
That's interesting comparison.
But is he still mowing the grass? Absolutely.
Yeah. I'll give you that. You want to meet in the middle on that?
Yeah.
He's still doing... Look, him taking free throws is still a good thing, especially after you go 4-for-8 from the line and holding yourself accountable for that. Is a great, great thing. I will give you that. It's awesome that he's shooting free throws after a game.
That's all I care about.
But
just accept what he's actually still working.
But I think he knew that the MSG cameras would be on him. He knew it would be a viral moment, and he knew it would be a nice moment for Knicks fans to see, boy, I love this guy. Meanwhile, his play on the floor does all the talking. He's been great. So I don't think anything I said over the course of this little discussion is trolly at all. As far as the team's concerned, I haven't said anything about the team long-term in this conversation today. I haven't said anything's different. I haven't. You want to have that discussion, we can, but I haven't offered an opinion on that.
Maybe it wasn't for show, Evan. Maybe it was just simply, I got to be a leader here because Mikal Bridges ain't out here working his ass off.
I see what you did.
Maybe he's got to come out after the game shut. So I'm going to set the tone that this is not acceptable.
So I just want to announce something. That was trolly what he just did.
No,
he
decided, I'm making an observation now.
He took a shot at a player who, quite frankly, last night, irrelevant. I mean, what are you going to say about your fourth best player?
Last night?
He's irrelevant.
How about the year?
No, I get it. I understand.
We're eating the way through here.
That's not the story. You wanted to bring him up just to take a shot at him. I'm not taking a shot at Mikal Bridges.
Taking a shot at you. Just, you know, put in the extra work. I think that's worth it.
You know why I don't need to take a shot at Mikal Bridges? Because you already know he's struggling. Mm-hmm. You don't need me to tell you that.
Know.
You know his defense hasn't been the same.
Defense hasn't been great, but his shooting has been good.
Isn't he shooting like 32%
from
three?
His shooting has been good. If you're watching him on a nightly basis, the defense has to pick up. The shooting
was his shooting good like last night?
The shooting was good. It has been good. Watching the games, I don't look at him and go, the shooting, maybe he could score a little bit more, but I think the shooting has been good. He was like an alpha last night when
I think the audience deserves this answer because you're a good fan of all your teams. What has been better, the Mikal Bridges shooting this season or Joe Shane's roster building?
Mikal Bridges shooting.
Oh, now you're lying.
No, you asked me a question.
What a question. I love when
we're not 2-8, the Knicks.
I love when we bring cross sports together.
Right.
Like, all right, Mikal's shooting 32% from three, and Joe Shane's hit on like 70% of the 2024 NFL draft. So who's having a better year?
That's a good poll, Evan.
You like that one?
I do.
Oh, man. It's not about the Knicks. I just thought that was a pandering move. And if you guys like it, that's great. You should like it. Christopher's in Staten Island. I know he agrees with me. What's up, Christopher?
What's going on, Evan? I definitely don't agree with you. There was actually a viral video that came out the same night of the trade when we traded Randall and DiVincenzo, and it was Carl Anthony was in the gym with his father at the Minnesota facility working out at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Grinded.
That was on like that was on Bleacher Report. So I think this is just a guy who's dedicated, and I think he's pumped up about coming back home, and I think it's totally wrong. But I can see why, you know, as a Nets fan, I can see why you may think.
It has nothing to do with being a Nets fan. I think that two things can be true. Carl Anthony Towns is an incredibly hard worker, and I have nothing but respect for him and his dad. Like, seriously, I got nothing bad to say about him as a human and how hard he works, but when cameras find you doing that,
maybe he was there first.
What do you mean?
He was there first, and then the cameras found him.
Do you think that's what happened?
Maybe.
Do you think that's what happened?
I mean, why? If I was a producer, and I was doing post game for the Knicks, and I see Carl Anthony Towns taking free throws, I'm saying, go to the other end, get to the other end, shoot it right there, and then we'll talk to him. That's what you do.
So MSG was doing the pandering.
Maybe. I mean, I do this every game because me and Jason do a walk and talk on the game for Tops, that other pregame show on CBS Sports Network. We walk on the field, and whoever we're talking about, we're always like, let's find him and get him in the background.
Oh.
So, I mean, it's just...
Interesting.
It's camera work.
Okay.
It's producing.
All right. Let's go to David in Pomona. What's up, David?
What's up, David?
David.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Yeah. What's going on, guys?
All's good.
Hey, listen. There's one thing again, Anthony Towns, Evan, but you better be watching with Fat Joe, man, because he's from the Bronx. You better be careful.
No, I agree.
You're going to get a call from him.
Listen, Fat Joe's got to understand what's been going on lately.
Fat Joe.
You don't think he knows? That whole thing with the Yankees? I mean, it's a thing. See, I wouldn't have thought the Fat Joe thing was real until the fifth inning. And I don't know if people saw that. That's why we had to describe it on the air. We were at Yankee Stadium for Game 5, and they put him on the big screen before said fifth inning.
Mm-hmm.
And jokingly, and it was a joke, me, Sean, and Tom Izzo, who works here, said, boy, that must be it for the Yankees. They're about to collapse. But when we said that, we were all joking.
Were we?
I didn't actually think that Fat Joe was going to curse the Yankees.
Of course, I don't think curses are real, but I will be honest. When I said Fat, I did have a moment of pause going, oh, man, this isn't good. Because it made no sense why they were bringing him back out.
And then they had the worst inning maybe in the history of the Yankees.
Yeah. Judge leaned back and then couldn't make that catch.
Look, I feel bad for Fat Joe. I don't even think he's doing anything wrong. Like, if I was a curse, what would I do? Like, if someone told me, you're a curse for the Mets. Every time you go to games, they lose. I'd have to strongly consider taking like a vacation.
You know what we need to do here? And I'm going to be a gentleman here, even though you guys were being jerks before with my basketball team. I'm going to be nice to your basketball team.
My basketball team's around.
No,
why
it's
do
not.
People keep bringing
it's
them up,
not,
Jake?
Because we have an issue here.
I'm not talking about them.
Just hear me out. We have a Fat Joe problem here.
Oh.
Fat Joe wants to go to basketball games. If he curses the Knicks and they lose, we got an issue. There's another team in town that wants to lose. So Joe Tsai, we know he likes getting the scraps from the Knicks.
I
we know that. Emily
doing.
Ratajkowski's there every other week. Fat Joe, go to Brooklyn, baby. Go to all these net games, curse them, and then you're good. And then we're good. Right?
It's not a terrible idea for the road. I want to try to win for a few more weeks, and then we can bring Fat Joe
in. You
want to
torpedo the Knicks, too, by having Fat Joe there.
I have been told Fat Joe will flip the coin at midfield for Jets-Colts on Sunday.
Oh, my God. Oh, boy.
Fat Joe! The Rutgers hat scared me, too. Like,
all those poor kids. They're thinking they're going to the Final Four this year.
Yeah, that's a scary one. Fat Joe, if you're listening, understand we love you, okay? This is nothing
personal. Just go away for a couple months.
That's all. That's all. I'm telling you, if you told me, because I had a good year with the Mets this year, like when I went to Met games, I think I went to 30 games this year, and I was like 17-13. Like, I had a good record. Maybe even better than that. I'd have to look it back up. But if I was really bad, like I was a curse,
you would stop going?
I'd have to consider it. I'd have to put my self-interest behind the self-interest of the team I root for.
I mean, you would never.
You have tickets.
Yeah.
You've paid for tickets.
I understand.
Why would you stop going?
If I think it was hurting my team?
It's not hurting your team.
You don't think Fat Joe's hurting the Yankees,
no.
The Knicks, and
I think he has zero effect
the vice
on
president.
What's happening on the field.
Okay.
Or in the voting booth. There are many other more plausible explanations for both.
Really? The fifth inning? How do you explain that? Aaron Judge dropped a pop-up.
You're going down a major can of worms here, Evan.
What?
You have not seen one championship your entire lives. You have season tickets to basically all these teams. Maybe you have been all these years. So maybe
valid.
You know, it's a valid point.
The only reason I would disagree with you is that it's not as if my teams were racking up championships prior to me.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You cursed the Jets this year.
Yeah,
I did pose what I thought was a good hypothetical to Tommy, and you said you like these cross-references. I want one for Tiki here.
Go ahead.
Tiki seems to be a naysayer with the Fat Joe curse. So, Tiki?
Yeah.
Which is more believable, that Fat Joe is cursing these teams or that aliens exist?
Don't do that.
Here we go.
Don't do that.
I'm sure aliens exist. I've never said that aliens don't exist.
Okay.
I'm just saying you will never see an alien.
Okay, so aliens existing over Fat Joe. That feels like a loophole.
Physics do not allow for aliens to travel faster than light speed.
Tiki,
they just don't. Unless there are wormholes, which we don't know about.
Tiki, you're moving the goalposts.
I'm not.
You've said they don't exist.
No, I've said no one has ever seen an alien.
Right?
Okay, all right. I'm going to change my question. I'm going to be Paul Schwartz to you in the locker room. What is more believable, that Fat Joe is cursing these teams or that we will see an alien in our lifetime?
Well, we'll never see an alien.
That's not the answer.
Well, I just told you.
So Fat Joe is cursing.
Fat Joe's cursing the team.
So I'm not saying that because I like Fat Joe.
Well, I like Fat Joe too. It's not about disliking Fat Joe. I like Fat Joe.
I like Sean's doppelganger.
He does look like Sean.
All fat, bald people look alike.
I think Fat Joe's a brilliant artist. I just think right now there's clearly evidence that he may be cursing all these teams. That's what I think.
He's on a cold streak. You got to step away when you're on a cold streak. That's all.
Another guy on a cold streak is Aaron Rodgers. Yesterday, he made it clear he wants to play next year. If we don't want him on the Jets next year, we got to find a place where he's going to want to go. We'll go through it and figure out, is there a team that would want Aaron Rodgers next season? Plus, more of your calls at 888-808-1019. A lot of baseball, Knicks, Fat Joe, Carl Anthony Towns pandering, all on the table on this very busy Thursday. And Bad Tiki will join us in about an hour. So yesterday on the program, Evan and Tiki here on The Fan, we heard from Aaron Rodgers. Sorry, I'm still battling my cough, so... It sounds sometimes like I'm about to cry, but it's really just fighting back this cough. Don't worry. I'm going to the doctor on Friday, follow-up, just to see if I'm dying or anything like that. But, yeah, still battling this annoying cough for the last few weeks. But, anyhow, yesterday on the program, we heard from Aaron Rodgers. He said, I want to keep playing. Now, a couple of things. Of course he's going to say that. If a player comes out and says, I'm thinking about retirement, like,
Why would he say that?
Right, unless you're going to retire.
Right.
Unless you know for a fact you're done. You wouldn't. Of course, they're going to say, "I want to keep playing."
Right, and then if he changes,
he's got a ton of reasons monetarily why he wants to keep playing.
No doubt, money's a big part of it. But even if he kind of thinks he may retire, I don't think he's going to say that. And then at the end of the year, he could change his mind. He has every right to. I don't think anyone's going to be bothered by that. So I'm not surprised by the answer. As far as I'm concerned, if they don't go on some kind of deep run, I'm going to want to move on. I'm going to want to blow it up. I laid out yesterday how they can still go on a run and make the playoffs. If they do that, then sure, I'll bring them back. They could even have a really strong close to the finish where you're thinking, you know what, let me run it back for a year. But if none of that happens, which seems like the likeliest scenario, and I find myself in the camp of many of my fellow Jet fans who say, we got to get rid of him. You need for this to work. To find a place where he wants to go. Because then it can become a nice, clean, mutual
landing spot,
trade,
right.
Cut, restructure, whatever, to make it all work. Otherwise, this thing could get very ugly. So I'm thinking about the NFL. I'm going around the league in my head, and I'm like, all right, where could Aaron Rodgers fit next season? And there's very few places.
There aren't.
Like, they're all stretches. Like, I'm thinking, all right, how about the Seahawks? They don't believe in Geno Smith. Eh, you know what? Aaron Rodgers is better. Let's go for it with a young head coach.
Yeah, they got the similar QB ratings this year and just slightly better record.
Right. Would they do that? Probably not.
I doubt it.
Would the San Francisco 49ers finally fulfill the dream? But Brock Purdy. Like, are they really going to say we're dumping Brock Purdy?
They're having a debate on how much and when they're going to pay Brock Purdy.
Right.
And he wins for them.
Right.
So I don't think that's an option either.
So Carolina, no, they're rebuilding, even though they need a quarterback. They're not close enough to say, let's go
Bryce
take
it. And Bryce Young has won two games in a row.
Right. But even
whatever
if they,
that means, but whatever. It's like there's positivity around him. There hasn't been positivity around him for much of his young career.
But even if they decided to move off on quarterback, they're not equipped to then go for it with Aaron Rodgers.
No, of course not.
Do the New Orleans Saints say, let's move out on Derek Carr and go all in on Aaron Rodgers?
Mm.
Probably not.
I doubt it.
Do the Falcons, who are having a good year, move on from Kirk Cousins to go to Aaron? No.
No, because they drafted their quarterback of the future.
Exactly.
Already.
They've got Michael Penix ready to go at some point. Do the Buccaneers move out on Baker Mayfield? No. Mm. Then I'm like the Vikings. Do the Vikings not believe in J.J. McCarthy, not believe in Sam Darnold? Does it follow the Brett Favre script completely?
I just think you can't do that with a quarterback in waiting. You drafted a quarterback in the first round, so the Vikings are out.
But he had a setback this week, too.
Did he?
With his injury recovery, yeah.
But what is that but is it like a year setback?
No, I think they had to go back in. Something happened. There was a second now surgery done on him.
Yeah. I still think Tiki's right, though. They're not, unless it's a kind of injury where you're like, wow, he's never going to recover, and he's just never going to be the quarterback prospect we deemed. Are you even picking Aaron Rodgers over Sam Darnold?
Right.
Maybe.
And now, they're 7-2 with Sam Darnold. I know he's turned the ball over a lot the last couple of weeks, but they're still 7-2.
But that's why they may be, this is why I think the Vikings are interesting. There's nothing wrong. They can look at the Green Bay Packers. Was it that bad that Jordan Love sat for that many years? It's not like J.J. McCarthy was his perfect prospect coming out.
I don't think the Vikings, the more you think about it, is the worst of these possibilities. I think they're probably the closest of any of the teams we've talked about so far. I just kind of agree with Tiki. I don't think they would do it. The Bears aren't going to do it. The Packers aren't going to do it. The Lions aren't going to do it. And then you think about the NFC East, and you're like, well, Washington's not going to do it. The Eagles aren't going to do it. But the Giants need a quarterback. That would be most hilarious thing ever.
No chance.
Well, you may need a stopgap. You may need somebody. You may need a veteran.
Giants suck.
You may... I can't even with a straight face.
There's no chance. And first of all, Giant fans would reject that as before it even got fully out of someone's mouth.
See, you don't know Sean Morash well enough. So
you do not want that to happen.
So right now, Sean, give your opinion on the right now, because I'm sure you'll kill it. Go ahead.
If they're drafting a quarterback
second
overall.
He's going to say yes!
Hear me out. Hold on. Before anybody interrupts me. I want the Giants to draft their next franchise quarterback, and at this point, we're 2-8. I hope it's in the top three of the draft enough to trade up. I want that to happen. However, a lot has been made about the quarterback prospects and flaws in this, that, the other. If the Giants identify the quarterback they want to take, insert whoever it is here, and feel like maybe they're not ready to start the year, and this is a quarterback they want to take their time with. I could be sold on Aaron Rodgers for 1 year to win enough games with the base you have and then start that guy year two. I'm not telling you I want that, but I could be sold on it based on who they're drafting.
I just feel like this is going to get so convoluted if, say, the Jets don't go on a run and they're running it back. They're just resetting, new coach, new everything, and Aaron Rodgers is there because there's a massive cap hit.
I wouldn't want to do that, by the way.
The cap hit.
What you laid out, if I'm getting a brand new coach and I'm really starting over, then I want Aaron Rodgers off the team.
Yes.
I don't want to do the half measures.
But it's hard because there's such a massive cap hit.
No, I get you.
So there's no easy solution if he's not on your team next year unless you find a trade partner. But that even still is, I think, somewhat punitive.
Yeah, but do you want him on the Giants? Sean just basically told you yes.
No, I get what he's saying, but I don't think so. Because I want the Giants to be, I don't know, I want them to be reset and young. You know what I mean?
Well, okay, let me ask you this.
And they're young in certain spots, and they're probably going to get even younger at some others because of the draft and where mm-hmm. they're finishing. But I that arc of intersection. BT used to always talk about this, like the arc of intersection when your team is ready to match the young star that you have, and if they don't match, then you just miss, right? I think that would happen, right? Well, you would just miss.
If you draft the quarterback that Sean's describing, which I think you're going to do no matter what, and Dabes and Shane are here, and you draft your young quarterback, and you deem it's best for him to sit. Okay? And you guys sort of did that with Eli. He mm-hmm. sat for a little bit.
Yeah.
And sometimes that's what usually happens. Guys will sit a little bit, and then eventually they start. We saw it with Drake May in New England as well. Not everybody is Aaron Rodgers or even Patrick Mahomes. But you want the kid to sit. And you agree. You're like, yes, love 100%. The kid. He should sit. Which veteran quarterback would you rather have as your stopgap? Daniel Jones or Aaron Rodgers?
I mean, you'd want Aaron Rodgers.
Okay, so then you agree with Sean. You want him.
But I don't want him.
I don't want him either. I'm just telling you how I could be sold as a fan that's the only scenario where
I get
it.
Well, you're very easily sellable. Like,
I think he's on. He, Aaron Rodgers is built for a team that wants to win right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think the Giants are there.
Yeah, well, I think that's going to be the uncomfortable part. You know, we're looking to find a marriage partner for Aaron Rodgers. He may not be able to get exactly what he wants because he's not the hot commodity that he thinks he is.
True, but there's really only one team if I look at it.
Really? You got one?
Yes.
Because I'm still stumped going through the entire NFC. Is it an AFC team?
It's an AFC team.
Okay.
The Cleveland Browns.
The Cleveland Browns. They dumped Deshaun Watson.
Yep.
They got the talent. They say, let's go.
Well, I don't know how they're dumping Deshaun Watson, but whatever, you make him a non-factor.
I know what we're going to say with the cap. That cap number is so heavy next year.
Agreed.
That I don't know how you fit both of them under, and they're not looking to disperse more money down the line and keep Watson longer.
By the way, you're right about the cap, but I kind of agree with Tiki's overall point that if I'm looking...
I don't know how you figure it out. I know you could. You throw these void years on. We've seen this multiple
times. I don't know
how
you figure it out, but I think you're right in terms of a team with talent and a team who's like, I'm desperate.
Right.
Let's see. And if you're Rodgers, you can be sold on it of, hey, they're not that far off.
No. You're right. Some of these all the other teams you think about or talk about, one, either have the quarterback now or of the future, or they're not even close.
Right.
And so I don't think you can convince Aaron Rodgers to go to a team that's not close.
And let's not forget, 2 years ago when Rodgers was a hotter commodity, wasn't exactly a lot of teams banging down the doors of the Packers to make that trade.
No, I remember we talked about this and how it felt like he needed the Jets as much as the Jets needed him.
Yes. Yeah.
It's why it was a perfect marriage.
I think there's one other team in the AFC I'd throw at you, and you probably have a lot of insight on that team because I think you cover them. I think you actually are employed to cover this said football team, and that's the Indianapolis Colts.
No, I can't see them doing it again.
They don't know what they're doing with Anthony Richardson.
I feel like they're all now in on Anthony Richardson. And so I think he needed to be, I don't know, taught something.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why he got sat down for Joe Flacco for 2 games. And, you know, it was eye-opening for him.
Mm.
So I think they're going to ride the Anthony Richardson train. They're not looking to go win a championship next year.
I think I got it. And I think it's going to benefit the Jets. And I think we're going to go back to the Stafford-Goff trade. Remember how shocking that was? Yeah.
It's not only shocking, it's the hallmark in win-win trades.
Okay.
I use that example all the time. It's the ultimate win-win trade in terms of one team got their championship and the other team, look where they are now in Detroit.
I'm not going to just lay it out for you. This team is going to the playoffs this year.
Okay.
This team will fall short in the playoffs this year. And we'll immediately question, we're close. Maybe we could take a 1-year run at this with Aaron Rodgers. this team's quarterback has a contract you can get out after next year, which would benefit the Jets to have him play for a year with this roster while drafting their own. Aaron Rodgers traded for Kirk Cousins. I don't think Evan hates it.
Well, I'm thinking about it. I'm digesting it.
You get him for 1 year. You can get out after that Atlanta contract next year. He's a similar Daniel Jones deal.
I would treat Kirk Cousins, if I made that trade, I would treat Kirk Cousins the way kind of I would treat him now in Atlanta, where I'd be drafting my future.
But that's what I'm saying.
And basically
but they already drafted him.
No. My team would have to.
Yeah.
Unless you believe in Jordan Travis. Like, I would do that trade under the guise of you are here for a year. I'm already drafting your replacement. And by the way, that replacement may even replace you before the season is even over. Like, I could do that. I'd be open to something like, boy, the Jets are such a mess that these are even, like, decent options.
And the Falcons could let Penix sit another year if they think they're that close.
Yeah. But
Penix would be 25 next year. Remember, he played five years of college.
He did.
And so, do you really need him to sit another year?
If they get to the divisional round this year and Kirk Cousins throws a couple picks in the playoffs and they feel like Arthur Blank, too, going, man, 1 year, man, this NFC, we can make a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but if they get that far, then Kirk Cousins has done some good things.
Daniel Jones made a divisional round.
888-808-1019. Billy's in Brooklyn. How are you, Billy?
I'm all right. How are you, Evan? You didn't mention a team that I've been thinking about, and we thought about getting this quarterback in 2020 under Adam Gase. They have the first pick in the draft, the Jacks. I don't know how you're going to get Trevor Lawrence, but he's not had a great year. He has not lived up to first overall pick expectations. So, what are your thoughts on that?
On the Jets going after Trevor Lawrence, Tiki brought up Trevor Lawrence the other day as an interesting guy to go after if you're the Giants.
Yeah.
As would Jacksonville move off of him?
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen enough from him early in his career to say, you know what, let me change it up a little bit?
You've seen some good things. There's also been some bad, too.
Yeah, I think for the Giants, I'd feel better about because I've got a guy I trust to fix him in Brian Daboll. The Jets, we don't even know who the hell their head coach is. We don't even know who the offensive coordinator would be. I'm very mixed on Trevor Lawrence. I think he feels like a very average quarterback who's never going to live up to the hype that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that hype was just unfair. I mean, he was considered generational when he came out in that draft. I think as a Jet fan, if they blow it up on Rodgers, I am leaning towards drafting the guy. And I know it's going back to the same script we read with Mark Sanchez and Geno Smith and Sam Darnold and Zach Wilson. But honestly, that's probably what you have to do.
Yeah, but it's also, you can talk about drafting the guy. You probably got to wait another year.
Because this draft is so unappealing to you when it comes to quarterbacks.
I mean, and maybe there's two. But are you going to get there? Are you going to be able to get to one or two? And I don't know if you win a couple more games. Because Aaron Rodgers is not trying to chill and make this season turn into a tank year.
The Jets are not finishing with a top five pick. I don't even think they're going to finish with a top 10 pick.
Right.
I think they're going to be in the teens or the lower single, double digits.
If you want to draft your guy, there's not a clear path to getting him.
Well, the path I laid out yesterday, trading Sauce Gardner for a number one pick. That's the only path. You know, making some kind of big expenditure, if you will. But I lean towards going down that route as opposed to trying to fix someone else's problem. Because what makes anybody think the New York Jets are going to fix anyone else's problem? You could sell yourself that with Brian Daboll because Brian Daboll is pretty good with quarterbacks.
Right.
But I can't sell that. John's in Deer Park. How you doing today, John?
Hey, what's up, guys?
All's
been
good.
A minute. I was just thinking about you guys were talking about the girls at the games and stuff like that, you know. And one of the things that I realized they were doing is you got a lot of girls that go in groups and they flirt with guys and they soften the situation and it's a perfect and ideal situation. What something new that women are doing nowadays? And I saw this on the sporting events to meet men.
Is that what you're saying?
No. They're going to Home Depot and Lowe's.
What?
To meet men.
What?
And they literally, this was on entertainment, you know, nightly entertainment news shows. And these women are going to these Home Depots and Lowe's because they literally get to walk around and shop for the guy they like physically. And then they get to approach this man asking for help. They get to meet an individual where they get to, they get to talk to the person. He's clearly and most likely employed. They get to speak to him, and then it's a natural situation to say, hey, do you do this?
I got to tell you, John.
That's kind of genius.
That's brilliant. I mean, I'm not a single woman, so I know I'm not coming from a level of understanding, but it kind of makes a lot of sense. You check out each guy like a piece of meat, right? And then you're like, oh, I know an easy opener. I need help with this. The guy's going to help. Conversation starts. And boom, you go, you're getting a dinner in two nights.
You don't
it's
like
actually
it?
Pretty smart.
You don't like it?
The only thing I'm saying is John is from Deer Park, okay? I live in Bayshore, very neighboring towns. I know the Home Depots and Lowe's in that area. Not great looking dudes there. All right, so I'm just calling a hole in this thing.
Yeah, but see, here's the difference between men and women.
Right? Just thinking the superficial thing. There are no beautiful women tracking these guys.
We're disgusting, okay? We're disgusting, disgusting pigs. Where the first thing you think about is looks, okay? Women are much more thoughtful.
Yeah.
They don't look at it that way.
They want someone who take care of them.
Yeah. Someone who's got a personality. Someone who's funny.
Can fix
someone
things.
Someone who's got a sense of humor.
They're at Home Depot.
Yes.
Handyman.
Oh, you're out of your mind.
Am I?
Now, there are no women that people superficially would grade a 7 or above walking in talking to some of these hogs I've seen mix and pitch. That is not happening.
I think,
that is not happening.
Sean, I don't think this is your attractive 25-year-old. This reads of the First Wives Club, the Cougars. They're hunting at a Home Depot
okay,
for a man.
Okay, so that's I'm misjudging guess. The type of women.
Correct. Yeah.
You're not talking 25-year-old. Like,
all right,
somebody
what was that
just
Tom Brady
graduated
movie?
From college. I can't find a job, so I got to get married. That's not what we're talking about here.
Cool. So, okay, so like a 40-year-old woman past her prime, maybe like sentimental too much?
Oh, that's not right. See, you're a bad guy.
See, we don't have to say prime. You're always in your prime. Hey, what did Ric Flair always say? Oldest ride, longest line. Everybody's got an option. Right. By the way, the fact that women are going to sporting events to meet men, Evan, you should have been born 10 years later. You would have been macking it if women were going to sporting events to meet guys.
You know what's crazy
you'd have
about
been,
that?
You'd have been the Mac Daddy.
Not really, because one of the things, I love my wife for many reasons, but I think the thing I love the most about her is she doesn't care about sports.
Mm.
Like, I don't think I would have worked well with someone who loves sports.
Really?
Yeah. So I love that.
Because she would get in your way?
No.
Or she'd want to be too involved?
I don't think it's that. I think.
Can't you see her scoring a game together? Hey, hey, honey, what'd you get for that one?
No. No. That's actually one of the worst things
ever. I wrote that down wrong. Can I erase this?
What kind of pen do you use?
I think as much as I love sports, I like getting away from it sometimes, too. And I love that my wife doesn't give a crap about it. Like, when we go to the game on Sunday night, we're going to the Knicks-Nets game, she don't care. She's not caring about, you know, Cam Thomas's usage rate.
And plus,
nobody is, though. To be fair.
If you marry somebody who's not into sports like you, then they never know when a game is not that important. So you always have the out.
You know, that's a great point.
Yeah.
My wife can be, hey, this is a big game. Right. She don't know.
Of course.
Now, I never lie to her about that. I'm always truthful about the importance of said game. But you're right. So I get it for the single. Look, if you're a single guy out there and you're listening to us, that sounds great.
Right.
Go to Home Depot. Go to a sporting event. Maybe that's where you're going to meet the love of your life. Or just a fun evening. I mean, it's certainly on the table. But, yeah, that's crazy. That's so smart. Like, as a woman, to just go there and then, hey, I need help with this. Guy starts talking to you, and then before you know it, you're going out.
It's always reverse. Guys, go to Bed Bath & Beyond. You can pick up some women.
It doesn't work that way.
What do you mean it doesn't work that way?
It doesn't. I'll tell you why.
Because if a woman's going to Bed Bath & Beyond, they're likely already married or have a home that they're trying to furnish.
Yes.
And so you missed the boat.
And also, you don't get your pick of the litter the way I think women are able to. Guys go up to a woman and ask for help. You're, like, disgusting. They know what you're doing.
No, you're sexy.
You're flirting.
I know you.
Yeah. You're being the typical guy. It's different the other way around. Now, that may be a double standard to you, but that's the reality. Quick break. We'll come back. More of your calls. Plus, yesterday, the Jets did tackling drills. They even played a tackling video. Did Sauce Gardner find it helpful? His answers may surprise you.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it.
The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.